Well, our topic this morning is mentioned on the front of the notice sheet there, meeting the risen Jesus, the doubter. The doubter. Who do you think we're going to talk about then? Thomas. Thomas. We've all heard of him, haven't we? He's proverbial. Doubting Thomas. You've got your Bibles, and you'll, if you turn to John chapter 20, which is where he's found, but in your Bibles, you read earlier, let me see who's got their brain in gear. The whole Bible, all right, all these pages, doubting Thomas. How many verses do you think in the whole Bible mention Thomas? Come on, there's a clue in what we've done this morning. 12! Well, what a surprise that is, isn't it? 12! Just that little bit that you read this morning that took less than, two minutes on Poppy Day. Apologies to British Legion, and we thank the Lord for November the 11th. But, you know, it seems sometimes a lot, but 12 verses, that's all that we have in the whole of the Bible that mention Thomas. And of those, he's mentioned once in Matthew, once in Mark, once in Luke, and once in the Acts of the Apostles. Just one verse. And each of those four references, it's just in a register. It's the list of the disciples. He's just named. You know, there was the list and Thomas the twin. In Matthew, that's all that's said, just his name in the register. In Mark, similar. And in Luke and in the Acts of the Apostles. So there's only eight verses, really, and those eight verses are all found in John's Gospel that we read a bit of this morning. If nothing else, you'll remember that this morning, won't you, that Thomas is only found in 12 verses. And that the whole story of how are we going to make a sermon out of, don't worry, you'll be here before 3 o'clock this, later on this afternoon anyway. This morning, you'll be home in plenty of time, don't worry about that at all. So of these eight verses, they're in John's Gospel, so we don't have much about him, but we can figure out little bits about him. We can work out that he was probably a twin. I mean, it doesn't actually say Thomas and his twin brother. It gives a little clue saying Thomas called twin. So we can assume that he was a twin. We can assume that he was a fisherman as well. He does go fishing in John's Gospel. I know you don't have to be a fisherman to go fishing, but there's a probability. And there's a tradition as well, which is a very good tradition, that he became a missionary to India, and he served his, and he died in India. But we don't know that for a fact, that he was a twin, that he was a fisherman, that he went to India. But we can just assume that. But what we do know about him gives rise to him being known as Doubting Thomas. What we do know means that he is the doubter. We all know him straight away. Doubting Thomas, proverbial. He has a bad press, doesn't he? He has a bad press. I was preaching in Matthew Glass Church last Sunday, and someone said, oh, because now I've retired. I know that's a surprise to you. You think I'm only 37, but, you know, a lot of these churches now, the minister's just gone, oh, now you're retired, you can come and preach for us. I said, hang on, you can't afford me to, you know, don't start. I said, I'm preaching down North Devon next Sunday. North Devon, oh, we went there, we went to Westward Ho. Oh, it always rains in North Devon. I said, what? Always rain? Yeah, this was a proper grown man I was talking to. And it's, oh, yes, he said, we used to go as children. Our parents took us year after. It always rained. Just because he had that bad experience, he chose the wrong week, or his parents chose the wrong week, and that it's got a bad press. Well, it doesn't always rain in North Devon, does it? Doesn't always rain. But North Devon, You ought to be on the tourist board, didn't you? You know, come to North, glorious North Devon. But because it's got a bad press in that man's knowledge and understanding. And this is the same with Thomas. Because of this one event, he has a bad press. He has this bad thing. But there's more to Thomas than just his doubting. And I want us to look at the references. There's only 8 verses in John's Gospel that mention him, really. And the first, we're not going to look at, we're going to look at 3 points, all right, and some of the, but turn to John chapter 11 for the first reference. John chapter 11. And verse 16. It says, Thomas, called the twin, Didymus, he said to the other disciples, let us also go to Jerusalem that we may die with Jesus. Thomas, the twin, said to the rest of the disciples, he took the lead, he said, let us go to Jerusalem and die with the Master. Let's go back to Jerusalem. Well, what's all that about? Well, the story is that Jesus is a marked man, all right? This is before Easter. This is before the crucifixion, obviously. He's a marked Jesus. They didn't like him. We're only going to be in John's Gospel, but just turn back to chapter 8 and verse 59. The last verse of chapter 8. Jesus is speaking to the Jews. And he says, chapter 8, verse 59, when Jesus finished speaking, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. They were going to kill him. They were going to throw stones at him, but Jesus hid. And then he slipped away from the temple grounds. Turn over to chapter 10 and verse 31. Ten 31 says, again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. They were going to stone him in chapter 8. Again in chapter 10, they picked up stones. The stones were ready. It wouldn't have taken much more for them to start throwing those stones and for Jesus, for the stoning to take place. And now, in our reference, in chapter 11, the first reference to Thomas, in John chapter 11, Jesus and his disciples, they're in Bethany, and Jesus says to his disciples, chapter 11, verse 7, Jesus said, let us go back to Jerusalem. They're in Bethany, which is only 2 miles away. It's like Abbotsham and Westward Ho. It's just 2 miles away. In Jerusalem, the Jews were ready with their stones. They were going to stone him. They went back. They retreated to Bethany, and now we're in Bethany, just 2 miles from where the Jews were really wanting him. Jesus said, let's go. Let's go to Jerusalem. Verse 8, but teacher, they said, it wasn't very long ago the Jews were trying to stone you, and yet you're going back there. That's suicidal, they're saying. Chapter 11, verse 8, Jesus, rabbi, teacher. That's suicidal, to go back to Jerusalem. They're waiting for you. They're waiting for you. And it's then that our man Thomas stands up, and what does he say? Verse 16, Thomas, called twin, said to the rest of the disciples, let us go with him. Let us all go to Jerusalem, that we may die with him. Doubting Thomas? That seems a very brave Thomas to me. A very loyal Thomas. He said, I'm willing, I love this master, I love this rabbi, I love the Lord Jesus so much that I'm willing to go to Jerusalem to die with him. Seems to me that he was a very brave, a very faithful, trusting, believing in Jesus, even if it meant his death. Let us go that we may die with him. That's the first reference. Turn to John chapter 14. For a second reference, Jesus is speaking in the first half a dozen verses of chapter 14, speaking about going to his Father. In other words, he's speaking about his death, actually. preparing a place for you. He's talking about the cross, the way he must go to lead his people to heaven. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is in John chapter 14, the first four verses. He says, in my Father's house there are many rooms, many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And then he says, when I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again and take you to be with me, that where I am, you may be also. That's the first three verses of John 14. And he says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. You know it means death, crucifixion. But it was then that our man Thomas speaks up and he says, Lord, I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. I'm not sure I know this way that you're talking about. I'm not sure I can see quite beyond the cross. I'm a little bit confused by it all. And you know what? Jesus gives him an answer that I'm sure you've heard lots of sermons. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way. Well, let me read verse 5. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. All the other references to Thomas are in the chapter that we read together, chapter 20. Okay, so turn to chapter 20. Verses 24 to 29, and these are the only other references that we have to this man, Thomas. And here we see Thomas missing. Thomas was absent when Thomas had gone AWOL, when the disciples, on that first Easter morning, Thomas wasn't, on that first Easter evening, Thomas wasn't there. I think Thomas could well have been sulking. He could have thrown his toys out of the pram, as we say today. His story is 1 week after Easter. I know we're 3 weeks after Easter. That's the way that the program's worked out for us. But on Easter Day, we read chapter 20 of John's Gospel, verse 19. It says, on the evening of that first Easter Day, when the disciples were together, the doors were locked for fear of the Jews who were going to stone him. It was then that Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. On the evening of that first day of week, Jesus came. But our verse 20, says, or verses 20 to 24, says in verse 24 particularly, Thomas the twin was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Thomas wasn't there on that Easter evening. He was not there on Easter Day. Thomas was missing. Thomas was AWOL, absent without leave. This Thomas, who was willing to die for Jesus, was missing. Was missing. This man Thomas, who wasn't afraid to ask questions when he didn't quite understand what Jesus was talking about, this man Thomas, who was able, the spokesperson like Peter would stand up and speak, Thomas, it seems, would stand up and speak, not afraid to ask questions. He was missing. He was absent. Now, what a lot he missed by not being there. He missed the presence that Jesus came. And stood, he missed the very presence. He missed the peace of God. Jesus said, peace be with you. And someone said he missed the praises of God, because the Bible says the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. That's verse 20 of John chapter 20. He showed his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw. He missed the presence, the peace, and the praises of Jesus. But he missed out. Now, I'm preaching to the converted this morning because we're all here. We're not absent. And that doesn't give us an air of superiority of those who aren't here in that sense. But perhaps Thomas felt let down. Perhaps he felt a bit depressed. Perhaps he felt, well, this is the end of the road. Jesus has died. I saw it with my own eyes. He was there on the cross. He's dead. It's finished. People say today, 6 foot under, that's it. No more to it. Whatever he was thinking, he wasn't there. That's the fact. That's the bottom line. He wasn't there. I read years ago, actually, well, I think it was a children's story rather than something I read, about a, and I believe it to be a true story, a European story, with all the Brexit. Let me tell you a story from Europe. It was about a nobleman who a very rich man, who died, and he left some money to the village. And in this legacy that he left, the legacy, the terms of it was to build a church. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If someone said, here's it, you know, our friends down the road at Westward Ho, the amounts of cups of coffee there, I don't think they had jumble sales and stuff, but, you know, fundraising to build a church is a big undertaking, isn't it? And here was this church, this village in Europe somewhere in the story, that were given lots of money to build a church. And so they built the church. It was all paid for. And it was a wonderful building, a wonderful, and they came and they had the opening service of this. And they noticed that round the walls were the brackets. This is a very old story, before electricity. There was the brackets for the lamps to go in, for the torches to go in. And as they came in and saw this wonderful building, they said, well, but where's the lights? Where's the lights? There's the brackets, but where's the lights? And they looked at the legacy that the man had written. And the man had said in his, he'd left the instructions for the building of this church. And he said, I want there to be brackets, but people must bring their own lights. You see the point of this story. When you bring your light to see where you're going, and when you get to the church, the light is there and your corner is lit. Where you sit, there's light. If you're not there, it's dark. It's a dark corner. You're absent. I'm preaching to the converted, but that's stuck with me. I remember that, and you know, that's worth... We miss out such a lot, don't we, by deliberately absenting ourselves. There used to be a wayside pulpit notice in churches. You know, a poster in the church notice board, and it was CH-CH. This is a CH-CH. What is missing? What's missing? You are. You are. And we remember things like that also. I'll leave the script a minute, because it was the wedding photos outside, and the wayside pulpit said, Lord, forgive their foolish way. No, we better not to, we better move on from that. Church, you are missing. And that's what happens. Your corner is dark. Your presence is. And Thomas. So Thomas was missing. Secondly, we see Thomas doubting. This is what he's most remembered for, isn't it? Chapter 20, verse 25, that we read earlier, the disciples said, we have seen the Lord. But he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers in his hands where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe it. I doubt it ever happened. This is what he's most remembered for. Now, grammatically, verse 25, it actually says the other disciples told him. That verb, told, is what's known as active. I don't want this to sound like a school lecture, but that means it wasn't just they told him. They kept on, it was a repeated, they told him again and again and again. They kept on telling him, we've seen him, we've seen him, we've seen him. But it was all to no avail. They were pleading with him. Thomas said, unless you can keep on telling me this time and time till the cows come on, but unless I see the prints where the nails went and touch his side, put my hand in his side, unless I see, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it. Doubting Thomas. I wonder, it does seem amazing, doesn't it? He's alive. He's alive, we've seen him. It's too good to be true. And when we try to give a little witness and tell people, we invite people to church, or we open our garden and get people in, and we start a one-on-one conversation with people, and when we're out canvassing at village lunch and all these occasions that come our way, we start speaking to people and say, you know, there is a way to heaven. You are special, as we've been singing this morning. The Lord Jesus can forgive your sin, or will forgive your sins, if only you ask, if only you say you're sorry and repent of your sins, saying you're sorry. Seems too good to be true, isn't it? Then instead of spending eternity in hell, you can spend eternity in heaven with God. Too good to be true. I can't quite get my head round that. It's free. It's free. I don't have to pay to get to heaven. I wonder if that's why it was to Thomas that Jesus first said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we see Thomas was missing, doubting. Finally, we see Thomas believing. You see, verse 26 tells us a week later, the disciples were in the house again. But this time, Thomas was with them. And yes, the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. But Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And then Jesus focuses exclusively on Thomas. He doesn't consider he just focuses on Thomas just for a minute. And he directly answers Thomas's questions. He says, Thomas, reach hither thy hand. Sorry, I'm quoting the old Bible, aren't I? Put your hand, put your finger here, verse 27. See my hands, reach out your hand, put it into my side. Stop doubting, Thomas, and believe. And it's with that that Thomas gives one of the greatest confessions of the Christian faith. Verse 28, he says, my Lord and my God. All his doubts were settled. He'd seen for himself. Now we could say amen and leave it there, but we don't leave it there, because you see, verse 29, Jesus says to Thomas, it's because you've seen that you believe. It's because you've seen with your own eyes. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Do you know, friends, that's you and me this morning. We've not seen the Lord in that sense, the physical sense. But we believe. We're blessed. If only we could get past our doubts, our fears, our pride, if you like, everything that would hinder, that would prevent us from coming to Jesus. That's the series title, Meeting the Risen Jesus, the Doubter. Perhaps there's some doubting this morning. But you know, we can. Thomas teaches, just in these, well, I said 12 verses, 8 of them are just in these 8 verses then in John's Gospel, Thomas teaches us that with our doubts we can still meet the risen Lord Jesus. And it's my prayer that each one of us, our doubts, and well, we're going to sing about our no more we doubt the risen conquering King. Life is not without thee. But let's sing that hymn to conclude our service. It's there on the board there, number 600. And 689, a lovely Easter hymn. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son, endless is the victory thou or death hast won. 689.